Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Jokowi meets rice businessmen. UN lauds Indonesia's contribution in maintaining peace. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo held a meeting with several rice businessmen at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday to obtain inputs on the condition of rice trading in the country. President received explanation about the situation and condition of rice trading and related issues in the markets and regions and how it will be in the future. The president was keen to know the condition of rice trading in the Cipinang Wind market in Jakarta and other regions. Jokowi was accompanied by Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung and coordinator of the Presidential Special Staff Teten Masduki. His guests included rice traders from Cipinang market, members of the Paddy Mill Association, rice businessmen, and other business persons. Billy Haryanto, representative of the Paddy Mill Association and the Association of Indonesian Rice Businessmen, noted that the rice stocks in Cipinang market is adequate and the prices are stable. The United Nations has lauded Indonesia's significant contribution in maintaining peace and international security. In a written statement issued by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs received Antara News Agency on Thursday, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi at a meeting with UN Under-Secretary General for Peace Operations Jean-Pierre Lacroix said that Indonesia will continue to increase its active role in the UN peacekeeping operation. Indonesia is also ready to contribute to the peacekeeping missions in Yemen, as well as increase the number of female peacekeepers. The meeting was held in the midst of the UN Security Council open debate in New York, the United States, on January 22, 2019. At the meeting, UN Under-Secretary General for Peace Operations Lacroix lauded Indonesia's active contributions, especially with the deployment of a battalion of 850 personnel recently to MONUSCO, the UN peacekeeping force in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Indonesia's contribution aims to support the UN's initiative to tackle challenges faced by in maintaining peace and security. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has warned the UN Security Council during its open debate in New York on Tuesday that Israel's illegal settlement on the occupied land of Palestine should immediately be ended. She also emphasized that Palestine possesses both natural and legal rights to become the United Nations permanent member. The efforts of Palestine and the international community to meet the rights would not be weakened by the turbulent road towards its independence and UN membership. Minister Marsudi stated that her participation in the UN Security Council's open debate on the situation in the Middle East was aimed at showing Indonesia's ongoing support for Palestine's unfinished struggles for its independence. She explained in this regard, the Palestinian issues must be given full attention by the UN Security Council, and a success in resolving the issue would determine the UN Security Council's credibility and the international community's trust on it. In her remarks at the open debate, the Indonesian Foreign Minister highlighted three main points to win the international community attention in an endeavor to resolve the Palestinian-Israeli conflicts. She emphasized that all parties should meet international law and all related UN resolutions and prevent themselves from taking provocative measures. The Indonesian government also underlined the importance of an immediate end to violent acts and violations of international law. Hence, Israel's illegal settlement on the occupied land of Palestine should immediately be ended. Indonesia and Morocco have started negotiations on a preferential trade agreement or PTA to boost trade and investment between the two countries. The Trade Ministry's Bilateral Negotiations Director, Nimado Ayu Martini, said, trade cooperation improvement through Joint Trade Commission's GTC activations and a PTA was a follow-up to an agreement signed by Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto and his Moroccan counterpart, Rakia Edarhim. in June 2018 on the GTC Activation Plan. Nimada Ayu in a press statement issued on Wednesday as reported by Antara said that to keep the momentum alive, Indonesia and Morocco have prepared for the first GTC and PTA meeting, which is scheduled for late April in Jakarta. Both parties have agreed to the terms of reference. Under the GTC forum, the officials encourage intensive interactions between the business sectors of both countries, Mada said, adding that the results of the interactions were expected to identify products that could be discussed in PTA negotiations. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Indonesia brought three Indonesian tourism missions to International Tourism Exhibition, Feria Internacional de Turismo, features in Madrid, Spain on January 23rd to 27th. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, in a written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Thursday, stated, there are three Indonesian tourism missions carried, namely mobile positioning data, sustainable tourism program, and homestay tourism villages. On the occasion, Indonesia brings the industry sector to conduct sales missions, table talk, business matching at the wonderful Indonesia Pavilion. Minister Arif emphasized that the mobile positioning program is important data as the newest way to count the number of foreign tourists by digital technology. He said mobile positioning data works 24 hours, 7 days in a week, without stopping, so they become up-to-date than surveys or even census. Indonesian government targets to reduce marine waste about 15% by 2019 as its commitment to fulfill the target of reducing marine waste for 70% in 2025. As quoted by Antara, Deputy for Coordination of Human Resources, Science and Technology, and Coordinator of Maritime Cultures of the Ministry of Maritime, Safri Burhanuddin in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the first year of 2019 is around 15% and will continue to increase. Safri Burhanuddin also explained that the government will pursue the implementation of the newly signed presidential regulation of November 2018. One of the main focuses of handling marine waste is by reprocessing solid waste. The Yogyakarta branch of Indonesia Stock Exchange IDX is seeing a pleasant phenomenon amid the moderate popularity of stock investment in the country. The Yogyakarta branch representative head Irfan Nurriza said that last year, the number of stock investors in Yogyakarta rose to almost 40,000. This year, the number of investors is expected to reach 60,000. As quoted by Tempo.co, Irfan Nurriza on Wednesday said that there is an increase of awareness among the people of Yogyakarta to invest their money in companies that produce goods they use daily. This growing awareness is quite encouraging for Indonesia because only 0.3% of the population are willing to invest in shares. The capital market has not yet entered the 1 million investors figure. Irfan also said that now it is so much easier to open a securities account. In the past, doing so requires a large capital of 10 million rupiah to 25 million. Today, people can open an account with just 100,000 rupiah. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is commentary for today entitled Improving Nutrition to be a Healthy and Excellent Nation. Improving people's nutrition to become a healthy and outstanding nation is the theme of the National Nutrition Day 2019 to be commemorated on January 25, 2019. Meanwhile, nutrition awareness, healthy and productive in Indonesia is the sub-theme of the event. Director General of People's Health of the Indonesian Health Minister, Kirana Pritasari, said that in a bid to improve the nutrition of Indonesian people, commitment and dedication from all stakeholders are required. The Indonesian Health Ministry is trying to introduce a program called Healthy Indonesia to Indonesian families. The program has four priorities, namely reducing the mortality rate of infant and mother effectively, improving nutrition in a bid to prevent stunting, and overcoming infectious and non-infectious disease. Stunting is the impairment of children's growth. It is a condition when infants and children cannot grow properly due to the lack of nutrition. However, stunting is preventable since pregnancy by consuming healthy foods which contains essential nutrients like iron, providing exclusive breastfeeding for the infants. A number of health issues, especially children's health issues, have become a serious challenge for Indonesia. Although child's health has improved, particularly regarding the fulfillment of nutrition, it has not yet been maximum in accordance to the standards of the World Health Organization. Nutrition affects children's growth and development. Therefore, children must acquire sufficient nutrition to support their growth since their first 1,000 days. The development of health by improving the quality of Indonesia's human resources contributes to providing long-term and sustainable benefits. One of the most important aspects in developing Indonesian people's health is by fulfilling their nutrition. Indonesians' youth hold the key to support the development of this nation. Without having proper nutrition, they cannot develop their potentials to advance the country. The time has come for us to be more aware about the importance of implementing a healthy and balanced lifestyle so that we can achieve a better, healthier, and more quality life. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history starts from an event on January 24, 1916, the birth of General Sudirman. Great General Sudirman is the most well-known Indonesian national hero. He was born in Purbalingga, Central Java, January 24, 1916. In 1944, he joined with soldiers of Defenders of the Homeland sponsored by Japan and officiated as commander of battalion in Banyumas. After the independence of Indonesia, in a battle with Japan, he succeeded to seize weapons of Japanese force in Banyumas. After People's Security Army was established, he was appointed as commander of Division 5 Banyumas with the rank of colonel. And through conference of People's Security Army on November 2, 1945, he was selected as Great Commander of People's Security Army, Commander of the Armed Forces of Republic of Indonesia. He became the first Great Commander of Indonesian National Army. General Sudirman died on January 29, 1950, at the age of 34 years old. His name was immortalized to be the name of a number of streets, universities, museums, and monuments. The next event was in 1939, earthquake in Chile, South America. On January 24, 1939, the worst earthquake in history shook the southern part of Chile with strength 8.3 Richter scale. Casualties were about 28,000 people. Post disasters, the government of Chile established Development Cooperation Agency to reconstruct and to develop Chile. And the last event was in 1965, Winston Churchill died. The whole United Kingdom mourns on January 24, 1965, at the day the best Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Winston Churchill, passed away. He died at the age of 90. Winston Churchill was well known as Prime Minister of Great Britain during the World War II. His role as strategist, orator, diplomat, and politicians made Churchill as one of the most influential figure in history. In 1953, Churchill was best owed Nobel Award in literature since he contributed many books he wrote about English and world history. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hatiku saat ku berkenalan dengannya, ku dengar dia menyebutkan nama dirinya. Sejak ku bertemu telah jatuh hati padanya. Di dalam hati telah menjelma cinta, dan bawalah daku selalu dalam mimpimu, di langkahmu serta hidupmu. Genggamlah daku kini juga nanti, harapan di hatiku, bawalah diriku selamanya. Hatiku saat ku berkenalan dengannya, aku dengar dia menyebutkan nama dirinya. Sejak ku bertemu, ku telah jatuh hati padanya. Di dalam hati telah menjelma cinta, dan bawalah daku selalu dalam mimpimu, di langkahmu serta hidupmu. Genggamlah daku kini juga nanti, harapan di hatiku, bawalah diriku selamanya.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled, Indonesia Provides Environmentally Friendly City. Indonesia, through the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, prepared a plan to build an environmentally friendly city in a sustainable manner, which concept was delivered in the 10th High-Level Seminar on Sustainable Cities in Nusa Dua, Bali, on January 21 to 23, 2019. The forum was attended by 200 participants from ASEAN countries and ASEAN partners China, Japan, India, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, the United States, and Russia. The Ministry of Environment's Director General of Waste and Toxic Hazardous Materials, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati in Nusa Dua, Bali, on Monday said, since 2017, the high-level seminar broadens the focus to the multidimensional nature of urban development, especially environmental issues. So Indonesia focuses on handling waste in cities. In addition to environmental issues of the high-level seminar, which were attended by participants from ASEAN countries and the 8 ASEAN partner countries, they also focused on harmonizing development planning with the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. He said the high-level seminar on sustainable cities is a forum for policymakers, experts, and practitioners in the field of sustainable urban development in the East and Southeast Asia region. They are expected to share ideas, knowledge, and experiences and develop cooperation. Rosa Vivian Ratnawati said, since 2015, the proportion of the Indonesian population living in urban areas was greater than those living in villages, which amounted to 59.35%. According to Rosa, 82.37% of Indonesia's population is projected to live in urban areas by 2045. This will have an impact on landfill and solid waste in cities due to human activities. Rosa emphasized that this is a serious problem because waste not only affect the quality of health and the local environment, but also at the global level. Therefore, Indonesia has committed to handling waste. This is reflected in Presidential Regulation No. 97 of 2017 concerning national policies and strategies for household waste management. This regulation mandates the central and regional governments to manage 100% consisting of 30% waste reduction and 70% waste handling from solid waste produced nationally in 2025. Basically, the regulation provides guidelines to managing landfills. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will take you to Nyangyang Beach in Bali. Stay tuned. CNN Travel International decided Nyangyang Beach in Pecatu Village, Badung, Bali as one of the best beaches in the world. It is the only beach that represents Indonesia in the CNN list. Nyangyang Beach offers beautiful white sand with comfort and tranquility that is difficult to find in other beaches in Bali. Nyangyang Beach is not well known yet like other beaches in South Kuta. Access to Nyangyang Beach is quite difficult since the location is below the cliffs and hills. You have to go down hundreds of steps with extreme slopes. Therefore, you must in good stamina. If you want to visit Nyangyang Beach, it is recommended to come from May to October since the period is not the rainy season. On Nyangyang Beach, you will find a view of the high seas that connects coast with the Indian Ocean. The beach is still natural, with little bit number of visitors. Because it is adjacent to the Indian Ocean, the beach very suitable for surfing. That's why the beach is classified as a surfer's paradise. On the beach, you can also do other activities such as sunbathing, looking for shells, camping, and paragliding. You can see the sunset and beautiful views from the air. During your visit Nyangyang Beach, you also can enjoy the beauty of other attractions such as the Uluwatu Temple, Karma Kandara Beach, and Green Bowl Beach, which is located side by side. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Nyangyang Beach in Bali. See you on the next Indonesian Wonder.
Bagaimana? bagaimana, oh bagaimana, oh caranya bagaimana, oh bagaimana, oh caranya bagaimana.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we present you information about South Borneo's participation in Matka Nordic Travel Fair 2019. Indonesian delegates from South Borneo, Kalimantan Province, participate in the biggest tourism fair of North European countries called Matka Nordic Travel Fair 2019. The biggest tourism fair of Nordic countries was held from 17 to 20th of January 2019 in Helsinki, Finland. South Borneo provincial government also utilized the occasion to promote their local potentials, such as South Borneo's culture, dances, remarkable landscape, and forests. Chairperson of South Borneo's delegates, Hanifa Dwi Nirwana said that South Borneo's delegates offer ecotourism package at the travel fair for those who would like to discover the beauty of South Borneo's nature. Observing South Borneo's endemic species called Bekantan or long-nosed monkey, exploring its relaxing tropical rainforest, experiencing the excitement of shopping at floating market, and trying bamboo rafting are some of the activities visitors can do when visiting South Borneo. South Borneo's delegates picked the theme of South Borneo's sustainable forest, the lungs of the world, for their tourism promotion. Hanifah Dwi Nirwana is hopeful the tourism fair can change foreign tourists' perspective about Indonesia's tourism destinations, which are not merely Bali, Yogyakarta, and Lombok, but also South Borneo with its wonderful Banjar and Dayak traditions. The tourism fair provided the main stage called Inspiration Stage Matka Nordic Travel Fair 2019, where participating countries could present their cultural performances. The South Borneo's dance team performed a number of Indonesian folk dances such as Radap Rahayu, Japin Sigam, and Mohing Asang dances at the event. Other dances such as Baksa Kembang and Begalang Tandik were also featured by the dance team. According to Hanifah Dwi Nirwana, Baksa Kembang dance symbolizes Borneo people's hospitality in welcoming guests, while Begalang Tandik and Mohing Asang dances aim to mesmerize visitors with the ecotism of Borneo and the traditions of Dayak community or the indigenous people of Borneo. In addition to performing traditional dances, the delegates took visitors to join a flash mob and draped sasirangan shawl around their shoulders. Sasirangan is a traditional craft of South Borneo. During Matka Nordic Travel Fair 2019, South Borneo's delegates chose Bekantan or long-nosed monkey puppets as their mascots. The Bekantan puppets successfully grabbed visitors' attention. Visitors were fascinated by these endemic species of Borneo. They also found the species to be intriguing. Regarding Indonesia's participation in the event, the plenipotentiary ambassador of Indonesia to Finland and Estonia, Excellency Wiwi Setiawati Firman, appreciated South Borneo's delegates for their participation in the event. Ambassador Wiwi also remarked that South Borneo's delegates would have a chance to perform at University of Arts Helsinki. Their participation in the travel fair carries an important mission to build regional branding, which can support the development of Indonesia's tourism industry, particularly ecotourism. Listeners, that was Miss Leni. Thank you for listening.
Diriku terasa resah, semuanya berlalu. Tiada rasa bahagia, gelap gulita yang ada. Oh, kegelapan di diri semakin terasa. Seorang sahabat lama datang menyapaku. Mengapa menguram diri, lupakan duka lara. Oh, bangunlah teman, janganlah bersedih hati. Kejarlah kebahagiaan untuk dirimu nanti, dan damai di hati serta
we'll be right back.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Listeners, welcome back to the segment of Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present the music group namely KUS Plus. The Indonesian band was established in 1969 and was born out of the KUS Bersaudara group. The band is often seen as the first band to introduce pop and rock music to Indonesia. The famous songs of KUS Plus has seen a plethora of musicians in Indonesia arrange their music. One such example is the song Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu, which was sung by Marshanda in 2005. The song is about a man living with a broken heart, hoping that his sadness is only a dream. KUS Plus is an Indonesian music group which was established in 1969. The group was the continuity of KUS Bersaudara group. The well-known music group in 1970s was often assumed as an initiator of pop and rock music in Indonesia. Here is the song titled Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu by KUS Plus.
Voice of Indonesia.
Telah lama kau ku bersamamu, bersamamu ku selalu. Ku tak mau, ku tak mau hanya mimpi. Hari ini, hari ini kau kembali.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.